read a little scripture and do our best to mind the Lord. I appreciate Brother Jared. I hadn't seen him in a little bit and walked in tonight and was just thrilled to see that he was here. I love Brother Jared. I love his family. I've been knowing them for many, many years. I remember hearing Brother Jared sing when he was just a little tow-headed boy, just a little bitty thing. But boy, he'd rear back and sing. He used to sound like a girl, believe it or not. Had little high voice. I mean, he could rattle the windows. And I'm glad he growed up. Amen. We love Brother Jared and appreciate him. Appreciate that good singing. I like that. I'd like to thank him for the many things he's done. We could just stay here all night and thank God for all he's done. Amen. You think about all he's done in your life, that thing begins to add up. Amen. So what a blessing. Thank you, Brother Jared. Mark chapter number 4, if you're there, say amen. Look with me down at verse 35, some very familiar scripture tonight. My son and I were talking about Levi. I appreciate my boy being with me. He pastors the Calvary Baptist Church over in Rockmart, Georgia, and God's using him in a great way, and we praise the Lord for that. And I was trying to tell him I was torn between two messages, and he said, you know, Dad, if I had to only preach from one book of the Bible, it'd be the book of Mark. And I love the book of Mark. But look with us at verse number 35. The Bible said, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You ought to underline those two little words in your Bible, let us. I'm glad he didn't put us in that ship all by ourselves. I'm glad he was already in there when he invited me in. If I'm in the ship by myself, it can sink. If I'm in the ship by myself, it can get lost at sea. Oh, but when I'm with the captain of the sea, hallelujah, right there. I'm glad he said, let us pass over. Sometimes we think we're in this thing all alone, but thank God we are not ever alone. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. And the Bible said when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And the Bible said there arose a great storm of wind. What kind of storm was it? A great storm. He didn't have to specify. There was a couple of raindrops hit the windshield on the way in. I wish it had been a bunch of them, to be honest with you. It's the dry around my house. The catfish has got ticks. Amen. There was a few raindrops hit the windshield. And that could have been called a rainstorm, but it wasn't much of one. But he specifies in the Word of God that it was a great storm of wind. And the Bible said the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And the Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship in verse number 38, asleep on a pillow. Shows how worried he was about it. And the Bible said, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible said he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The Bible said the wind ceased. There was a what? What kind of storm was it? What kind of calm did they get? A great calm. The Bible said there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I don't want to leave you standing too long, but I just want to throw in a little commercial right here. This is not the message, but I'll never forget years ago, preacher, I was reading that verse, and he said, how is it that you have no faith? And I thought about them preachers on the television. They say if you've got enough faith, why, God will heal your cancer. And if you've got enough faith, there'll be gold dripping off the ceiling in your church. And if you've got enough faith, And God will do this. And if God doesn't do it, if the preacher bops you on the head and blows his old liquor breath in your face and you don't get healed, then it's because of your lack of faith. I just want to take us to school for a second tonight. Let me ask you a simple question. Did he calm the storm? Yes or no? Did he calm the storm? How much faith did they have? He did not say, as he did in another place, O ye of little faith. He said, how is it that you have no faith? But yet he calmed the greatest storm maybe these men had ever encountered. They awake him and said, Master, perish thou not, for we what? Perish. They were dying. These men had been at sea. This was not a new thing to them. They were at the end of their rope when they woke him up. And he said, how is it that you have no faith, but yet he calmed their storm? Now, stay with me and we'll get right to it tonight. I want you to think about your own lives. When God has worked the greatest, was it not at a time in many instances when your faith was at its weakest? Those times when we thought there is no way. I've tried every way. I've had it up here. My ship is going down. We're not going to make it out of this one. And then, honey, the sweet heavens open up and Jesus steps out of nowhere and does what we did not believe that He would do. I'm glad. I know without faith it's impossible to please God. But it's because of those times that He walks in the middle of my lack of faith that I gain faith. Little commercial right there. Next time you hear one of them TV preachers, you remember what this little country preacher said. Amen? God is not pigeonholed by the amount of our faith. He can do what He wants when He wants. And the Bible said they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you one more time tonight, God, just trusting, Lord, your leadership tonight, I pray, Father, you'd help us for a few minutes to be a blessing to Brother Ken and this church, God. I pray you know exactly what people need tonight. I ain't got a clue, Lord. But I'm glad you know right where people are and right where they live. I know they look all churchy tonight, God, but Lord, you know what's on the inside and what they're, Lord, it may look great on the outward part, but it may be hell going on inside somebody's life tonight. Lord, I pray this would be the night that you would step out on the bow of somebody's life, that, oh Lord, that old ship of Zion, and speak unto the wind and the sea, and Lord, whisper, peace be still. Have your way. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to speak to you on this thought, the master of the sea. The master of the sea. In verse number 38, the Bible said, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus has many titles in the Bible, and we could do the little thing and go from A to Z and find Jesus in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way. By the way, He is the central theme of the Word of God from the very beginning in creation. Amen. Amen. Anyway, you'll find Him all through the Bible, from the front of the book to the back of the book. He's in every single one of them. But here we find this title given to Him by His disciples when they awake Him and say unto Him, Master. You know what? Jesus may be your Savior. You may be on your way to heaven with a hammer down. Your name may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but Jesus may not be the master of your life tonight. In other words, you've got your hands on the wheel. Everybody was bragging some time ago about Carrie Underwood and that country song, Jesus Takes the Wheel. Well, you wouldn't have had to ask Him to take the wheel had He had it to begin with. Amen. Amen. There ought to be a time when we just turn over total control of our lives to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen right there. Well, I was reading through my Bible and I preached from Mark chapter number 4 many times, and I was just going through there, and preacher, that word master, that just jumped out at me. Master. Boy, when you think about that word master, whoo, it's hard to refer to Him as JC. When you think about Him as being a master. I can't stand this bunch of disrespect toward God and the things of God. Hey, that stuff chaps my hide. I'm telling you, brother, He's worthy of more than that. He's deserving of more than that. He's not the man upstairs. He is the Master tonight who is sitting on a throne. I looked at that word, Brother Ken, and I dragged out the old Webster's and I looked up the word Master. Webster gave a four-part definition of the word Master. He said, number one, a master is a man who rules. A master is a man who... You know what a ruler is? That's a dictator, friend. That's a dictator. I get tired of being called a dictator. I'm not a dirt dictator, but I'm serving a dictator tonight. A master is one who says go and we go. A master is one who says stay and we stay. A master is one who rules. There's one or two people ruling your life tonight. It's the master of the sea, or it's the god of this world. Amen. If you like most Baptists, you switch back and forth. Just depends on what kind of mood you in, who your master is today. You love Him being master on Sunday. Oh, but not on Monday. He's your master. He's your master at the prayer meeting, but He ain't your master at the ball game. When you're cussing the referee, somebody help me. Amen. I played on a church softball team one time, and it was pretty good. We won a big championship and all that stuff, but they would recruit them boys to be on the team. They'd get out there in their White Oak Springs t-shirts and representing the home church, but they'd stop on the way home with their White Oak Springs t-shirt and buy their Budweiser. Are you listening? Hope we're all right tonight. I'll make somebody mad. I didn't come to do that. But a master is one who rules. He said, number two, he's a director, a head, or a chief. A director, a head, can't nobody direct your life like Jesus can direct your life. Oh, you can turn on the OWN network and you can watch Oprah and all the garbage spewing out of her mouth. Or you can listen to Dr. Phil and all the world's psychology. But boy, if you'll give the direction of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man who rules. He's a director, a head, or a chief. I like this one. It says that a master is an owner. And this is just straight from the dictionary right here tonight. A master is an owner. That sounds kind of like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19. For you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. I'm glad I belong to Him tonight. Well, fourthly, he said, he's not only a man who rules, a director, head, or chief, or owner. He said, but He is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He is Lord. He said, one who has supreme dominion. One who has supreme... That bunch down there in Washington thinks they in charge. They do. They really believe that. They're suffering grand delusions tonight. They think they got the power to run the world. No, no, no. No, there is one who has supreme dominion. They only breathing because He said they could. Amen. Then He gave the verb context. He said, a master, I'll just run through these right quick. He said, He's a conqueror. He's a conqueror. He said He's one who overpowers and has the ability to subdue and bring under subjection. You say, I got a kid tonight, preacher, who's out of church and out of the will of God, and he's out of control. I'm glad I got a master in the boat tonight. Oh, who can subdue the wildest of the fatherest backslid and bring them into subjection? Amen. Well, he goes on and says, he's the master, this is in the Webster, of creation. The beast of the field and the fowl of the air. Whoo! Everything that swims in the sea. He's the master of all power. He's the master of all knowledge. And thanks be unto God, He's the master of me. I hope He's your master tonight. We'll look at several things in our story tonight, and I'll watch my time, preacher, and do the best we can. But I want to look at several things in our story tonight about the Master. And first of all, I want you to notice the will of the Master. Brother Jared, when I was your age, I preached to teenagers. I mean, all the time. But if somebody had a youth meeting, they was calling Eddie White. I don't know. They don't call me like they used to since I got over 50, preacher. You start getting old, and they think you're too old. You can't relate to the younger generation. But I preach to teenagers. Number one prayer request among teenagers. Anybody know what it is? Anybody got any idea? Preacher, pray that I would find the will of God for my life. I don't want to get too deep right here, spend too much time, but I don't know many people who found the will of God hunting it. I know a lot of people who found the will of God doing it. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I know a lot of people found the will of God while they was doing the will of God. Amen. God ain't going to use you to do something else if you ain't content in doing what you do. Amen. Hadn't it been the will of God for me to preach, I'd still be driving a church bus on Sunday morning. Hey, brother, I thought that was my calling in life. I got saved. I'm a bus kid, by the way. I got saved. It wasn't long after that they asked me to drive a bus. I said, yeah, I'll drive a bus. It wasn't long. I started mechanicking on them on Thursday night. I put glass packs on my bus. Hey, that thing swung a rod. We rebuilt a motor, put a little old low-lift cam in that thing. I'd pull up to get them kids and sit there and go, whoop-a-whoop-a-whoop-a-whoop-a. We'd get to going down a hill and I'd gear it down and say, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, shoot fire out of the back. Amen. I begged them to let me put flames on it, and they wouldn't do it. I loved that. That's what I was doing for God. I was going to get little boys and girls like somebody came got me when I was a little boy. Amen. I wasn't hunting something bigger, something better. I was happy doing what God. Oh, pray for me, preacher. Pray. Pray for the will of God. We get this kind of euphoric idea that the will of God is always somehow banana splits and Oreo blizzards. The will of God ain't always warm and fuzzy. There's times I wished I hadn't prayed for the will of God. Are we okay tonight? In our story, what was the will of God for these disciples? Well, we read it. It was wind, and it was waves. Maybe the greatest storm they had ever encountered in their life. Don't tell me that He invited them on that boat to take that trip to the other side and had no idea that the storm was coming. Is He the master of the sea? If that's true, then He must have ordered it. People going through storms in their life and some crackpot of a preacher got a DR in front of his name, PhD. I got some of them post-hole diggers, amen. I mean, boy, thinks they know it all and say, well, kind of like Job's friends. Well, brother, I'm so sorry you're going through. Are you sure you're in the will of God? We get in a storm in our life and the first thing we think, boy, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? The disciples did nothing wrong, Brother Jared. They did what they were told. Jesus said, come, and they came. He said, get in the boat, and they got in the boat. They did exactly what the Lord asked them to do. And what the Lord asked them to do led them into the greatest storm they'd ever faced. Sometimes the will of God's tough. Sometimes between here and the other side, I'm glad we go on the other side. We're going to encounter some storms along the way. I heard an old preacher say years ago, he said this, he said, a little rain will test your roof. A little rain will test your roof, but a flood will test your foundation. A little, I'm going to say it again. A little rain. I forgot y'all over here. Y'all got all this stuff added on. I don't know. I'll be wore out times night. So, somebody chain me up yonder. Amen. Here's what he said. A little rain will test your roof, but a flood will test your foundation. You see, faith ain't faith at all till it's tested. You can talk about all the faith in the world. I mean, boy, you can preach about faith. And you can go over and pray that prayer of Jabez. And you can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But until that faith's been tried, it ain't real faith. Me and my little grandson, Mason, Levi's boy, he is at the house on Thursday and spent the night with me, and I took him to his ball game. He's going to be a professional, I know it. And support his papa, I can see it coming. Amen. Anyway, we was hunting us something to watch on TV, and my wife had that little story of Joseph recorded, little cartoon. I said, Mason, you ever watch this movie about Joseph? He said, no. And he curled up there in my lap and we started watching about Joseph. Halfway through that movie, everything happened to Joseph was bad. Well, didn't nobody love him, but his mom and daddy, his brothers hated him. They throwed him in a pit and then they sold him as a slave. All he did was obey God. All he did was tell his brothers what God told him to tell them. Am I right about it? So they throwed him in a pit. Then they sell him to some fellas going down the road, and he finds himself in Potiphar's house. And there, Potiphar's old wicked wife accuses him of trying to get on with her. He leaves her with his coat in his hand. Again, he does right. Is he doing right? Come on. Is he doing right? He was doing right in the pit. Now he's at Potiphar's house and he's doing right there. Where does that lead him? To the prison. Well, he meets two fellas in the prison, a butler and a baker. They have some dreams and he says, I can tell you what your dream is. He said, Mr. Baker, I'm sorry for you. He said, but you're getting out of here. He said, but they're going to chop your head off. And he told that butler, he said, you're getting out of here too, but Pharaoh's going to restore you. And when he does, remember me. You know what the Bible said? He did deliver him. He did restore him. But the Bible said, but he forgot Joseph. Ain't it amazing all Jesus does for us and we forget him? That's another sermon tonight. I'm running rabbits, but they got a little bit of meat on them. Amen. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's. Now he's in the prison. But we know the end of the story. He winds up in the palace. And boy, there he is, the governor over everything. And here comes his old wicked conniving brothers to buy corn. And when Joseph couldn't stand it no more, he revealed himself. And they were scared to death. He said, don't be afraid. He said, boys, y'all meant it for evil. I'm talking about pit. I'm talking about Potiphar. I'm talking about prison. He said, but listen carefully. God meant it for good. God looked down the road. He saw my daddy hungry. God looked down the road and he saw my brothers hungry. And God prepared a way. I had to go through a storm that we might eat today. Storms ain't always a good thing. Storms don't always mean you're in trouble. And God's mad at you, angry with you. We see the will of the Master. Maybe sometimes we ought to change the way we pray. We find ourselves in that great... You don't get many great storms in life. I go through storms weekly. I'm a pastor. Somebody says, preacher, what do I do to make my church grow? I said, don't. I'm just kidding. More people you got, more problems you got. I remember when I was a young preacher, Jared, I thought, boy, I want to have a big church. Ooh, now I want to swap it for one out in the woods somewhere. Nobody knows my name. Amen. I'm teasing, kind of. I have storms every week, but I don't face great storms every week. But there'll be some great storms in your life. And you better know God. And you better know where He's at in the boat. You'll get a call one day and say, your boy's been in a wreck. I've been there. You better come now. Hey, you may have to look at a doctor and that doctor say, he may never wake up. He's in a coma. You ever got mad? I may just preach this one point tonight. You ever got mad at God? Come on, y'all be honest. Nod your little pointed head. You ain't been mad at God. You ain't been saved very long. I'm laying in the Ronald McDonald House. My wife wouldn't leave the ICU where my boy was on whatever you call it, life support tubes, all that stuff. I don't know what he was on, iron lung. I don't know what it was. Anyway, he is in a bad way. I'm laying in there. My wife won't leave. She stays over there. I go to the Ronald McDonald House. And I'm laying there, and I crawled out of my bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. I stood on my feet. I'm talking about flat-footed. I looked straight into heaven, and I shook my fist at the face of God. And I said, how dare you? I've given my life to serve you. I've run up and down these roads. I flew on airplanes. I spent my time, my life, away from my wife and my children. And if you take my boy, I'll never preach again. I wouldn't advise you to talk to him like that, but I did. Moses did. Next night, I'm laying in that same little bed. I went to church and had prayer with our folks, come back, visited with Levi and my wife, went back to that little Ronald McDonald House. I was still mad. Mad! That's my boy! That's my boy. It ain't the crackhead's boy. It ain't the drunkard's boy. It ain't the whoremonger's boy. That's my boy. Laying in the bed, the sweet Holy Spirit crawled up in the bed with me and put His arms around me. And He said, honey, it's all right. And He just began to love on me. And I'm still trying. You ever love on your wife when she's mad? You ever do that? You ever just try? My wife will do that. She'll get mad and I'll start smooching on her and kissing on her till I make her laugh. And she said, you know what? I just can't be mad at you. And the Holy Ghost crawled into bed with me and loved on me and smooched on me and comforted. I just shook my fist in His face. I bowed my head and I said, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. He said, I know. I know. I said, Lord, I love you. I said, I ain't going to make no foolish promises. If you take my son, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, but I promise you this, I'll try. I laid back down that bed and had the most peaceful sleep I'd had in a long time. When your boy's in a coma and your phone rings, you answer it on the first ring. I mean, it don't even finish ringing. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning, the phone rung. Ooh, I grabbed that phone. It was the preacher in West Virginia. He said, preacher, I'm sorry to call you so early. He said, I just had to tell you God woke me up out of bed. He said, I sat straight up in my bed and was so burdened to pray for Levi. He said, I called 2 of the old men in my church. He said, we just met down there. He said, we're still here. And I hear them dudes shouting. He said, man, we met down here at the church and started praying for your boy. And heaven come down. He said, God told me to call you and tell you he's going to be all right. I'm thinking, you fool. My boy's in a coma. Ain't you heard? I hung up the phone. Tried to go back to sleep and couldn't do it. I finally got up and I thought I'd go get my wife a biscuit and a cup of coffee. And I did. And I'm walking across the parking lot. Wee hours. It ain't even daylight yet. I'm walking across the parking lot in the hospital. My phone rung again. I find the hood of a car and set the stuff down. Hello, hello, hello. A preacher in Pennsylvania. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm so sorry to call you this early. I thought, boy, I heard that a while ago. Sorry to call you this early. He said, but me and my wife set up this morning about 4 o'clock. Both of us sat straight up in the bed and said, we got to pray for Levi. He said, we crawled down the floor and began to pray. He said, man, heaven came down. He said, the Holy Spirit blessed our hearts. He said, the Lord laid on my heart to call you and tell me your boy's going to be all right. They gave us our own code to punch in to get in the ICU. I still don't get it. I'm still thinking, you idiot. My boy's in a coma. Ain't you heard? It don't look good. I punch in my little code, and as soon as that door cracks, I can hear somebody hollering. Very familiar voice. Hollering. Turn me loose. Get this thing out of my nose. Somebody call my daddy. I walked in that room. There was my boy fussing and hollering at them. I'd never been so glad to hear him be disrespectful in all my life. My little wife ain't a shouter, but she's standing at the head of his bed, jumping up and down, clapping her hands, tears rolling down her face. I said, baby, when did he wake up? She said, just a little bit ago. I'm glad, glory to God, in the middle of our storm, he can step in. The will of the Master. My boy preached not long. Hey, they said he'd have to go to rehab, have to learn to walk again, talk again, ride again, dress himself again. He stayed in there 4 days. I need a break. 4 days. We met a little boy. They took us up to tour the rehab. It was the number one rehab. I'm telling you how God works. I was mad as fire. Life Flight helicopter picked him up in New Georgia, Paulding County, right there where we live. They just sitting there with the helicopter out. And I said, what are y'all waiting on? They said, the airspace in Atlanta shut down. George Bush is flying in. I said, I don't give a good rip about George Bush right now. I said, you get my boy to Scottish Rite and you get him there lickety-split. They said, we're going to have to go to Rome. They won't let us. Oh, I was mad. I didn't know Rome had the number one head trauma unit in the nation. Their rehab unit. People came from all over the world to view it as a model. God knows what He's doing. We had a Christian school. He got out of the hospital. Once he got better and was able, took him back and he took his test. What do you call that, Levi? Standard achievement, SAT, whatever you call it. He scored higher than he did before the wreck. Can I say that again? He scored higher than he did before the wreck. The will of God. Not long after that, Levi preached a message to our teenagers. I think, if I remember right, maybe the title was something like Daddy's Storm. He said, everybody talks about this wreck being my storm. He said, it wasn't my storm. He said, I don't even remember it. As far as I know, he don't remember the wreck till this day. He got flung out the windshield, flew through the air, and hit a pasture fence post. And he don't remember it. He said, that was Daddy's storm. God's will was for me to go through that storm that I might know Him like I've never known Him in my life. Sometimes those storms is that we may know God on another level. The will of the Master, then there's the work of the Master. And I'm just going to give you these right quick. The work of the Master. He's a constant companion. He said, let us go over. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like that double meaning. I ain't gonna get into that anyway. He cares. The Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. We all right tonight? I'm glad we got a busy God tonight. He's not sitting in heaven eating grapes and somebody fanning Him with palms. He's busy! The Bible said He ever liveth to make intercession for. Woo! I got somebody speaking for me right now. Oh, I got somebody in my court. I got somebody who goes before the Father on a daily basis. The work of the Master. Then thirdly, there's the words of the Master. The words of the Master. I want you to notice this. I want you to get it. I won't belabor it, I promise, but I want you to get it tonight. In this story, preacher, He speaks words of rest. Peace be still. Oh, don't you love it when He speaks peace be still? I heard that old song years ago right after I got saved. I know the peace speaker and he's calling my name. Anybody ever heard that? I'm glad I got wrote in my notes. Say amen right there. I'm glad when the peace that passes all understanding, even when your boy's in the hospital, even when the waves are blowing and the winds are howling, God can speak peace. But then he speaks words of rebuke. I don't like those very good. How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Brother Jared sang it a while ago. For all he's done. After all he's done, how is it that we doubted? Probably he's already done something greater than what you're going through now. But the devil's got a way of magnifying every little old thing that comes along. We think everything's a killing us. I got a little knot on my head. It's a tumor. I got to picking at that thing. My wife said she's a registered nurse. She said it's some kind of cyst. I said, no, it's a tumor. I got a brain tumor. I got to have some radiation. I got to have some radiation. I got to have some chemotherapy. I'm dying. Every little thing. Might just be a pimple. We just pop that thing. Amen. He just magnifies everything. Words of rest. Isn't it funny how the words of rest came before the rebuke? Can I say that again? Before he scolded them boys, he took care of what was bothering them. I didn't get much schooling, but what it did, they taught me about the law of first mention in the Bible. Did you know before the God of heaven rebuked Adam, before he came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? Before he ever did that, he rebuked the serpent. Boy, it got quiet right there. I'm glad I got a speaking God tonight. I'm glad He's not silent. I remember somebody teaching about the silent years. It was the 400 years, Levi, between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of those 400 silent years. I'm glad for 2,000 years He ain't hushed, not a single day. Hey, the Lord's been speaking. Maybe we're not hearing. Oh, we pray and we got our prayer list. But when's the last time you crawled up in the altar and said, Lord, speak? You said, well, Lord, I ain't answered my prayers. Have you shut up long enough? I have people come in my office for counseling. I can't get a word in edgewise. I finally say, hey, I thought y'all wanted my help. Anyway. The will of the Master. The work of the Master. The words of the Master. And then there's the wonder. The wonder of the Master. My son wrote a song about it. The wonder of the Master. Last verse in our text. What number is that? Somebody tell me. Somebody looking at your Bible. Is that 41? Verse 41. You just read what they said. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? I'm a King James man, up one side and down the other. Don't come arguing me after church. I'll hit you with the one I got. I'm talking about I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. But if there was to be an E-R-Y-A-T version, you know what it'd say right there? Far out. Or maybe, man, did y'all see that?
Right.
I've been fishing on this sea all my life. I've seen storm after storm, but I ain't never seen nothing like that. The wonder of the Master. When's the last time He blew your mind? When's the last time God done something in your life or the life of somebody else and you just stopped for a little while and went, wow. What a God!
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I'm sick of in church. You probably don't have it, but I got a church full of it. I'm talking about people laying in the altar. We got a addiction program. Y'all probably don't even need it over here. I pastor drug addicts and dope heads and ex-convicts. I got them all. We got a ladies' home. We get people, they split up from their families. We getting mamas getting babies back. We getting women off of crack cocaine and I'm trying to remember some of them other drugs that peel there by heroin, all that crazy stuff, man. And boy, we're watching God clean up lives. Hey, somebody getting delivered over here. Hey, somebody getting saved right there. Hey, somebody getting born again right there. Hey, somebody surrendering their life to God right there. And all over my church is what I got.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Bunch of chickens pecking corn.
Right. Rich.
Look like one of them old dogs on the back shelf of a car. Y'all young people ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. That place where we used to ride when we was boys. Make faces at the people behind us and do that to all the truckers. That's where they strap kids down like they're some kind of criminal. That's when you could stand in the seat of your papa's pickup truck. Hang your head out the window. You could even ride in the back of a pickup. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's so good. Blech! Every time we see God move, man, we ought to come off our rear end out of that pew. We ought to look down toward the altar of God and say, wow, wow, that's my master. That's the one I'm riding in the boat with. He did that. I remember, I don't know what time, I'll quit in just a second. I'll quit. I remember the first time I got to preach out west. Oh, if God didn't want me in Villa Rica, Georgia, I'd be in Dillon, Montana right now. Oh, I like it. I like it. Even the police around there wear a cowboy hat. Oh, yeah. I seen one in the store in there one day. He had a long Colt 45 hanging on his tie. He wasn't toting no plastic gun. That dude had him a hog leg, son. Amen. I'm thinking, everybody you meet's a cowboy. I could live here. The first time I was preaching out there, I stayed in that motel. They call it Big Sky Country. I got in the room because of the time difference. I couldn't sleep. I walked out in the parking lot. It was just walking around, and I got to looking up. I'd never seen stars like that in all my life. Never had. Them people in that motel, it's a wonder they hadn't called the man with the long coat 45, because they probably thought I was out of my mind. I got out there in the middle of that hotel parking lot. I laid me down in one of them parking places, and I just laid there like that right there, and I'm going, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Woo! I'm thinking about how my God did that. Every one of them, He flung them into space, and He named every one of them. And I laid there with tears rolling down my face thinking, wow, that's my master. When's the last time He blowed your mind? When's the last time? I laid there and I thought about my first grade school teacher. Looking at them stars. She had a poster board on the wall with a grid like that. On top it had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Down this way it had everybody's name. On the very bottom of that list was mine. That's what happened when your last name is spelled W-Y. You are at the end of the line. Every day at the end of class, she would pull that little center drawer in her desk open. She'd reach in and grab this little plastic, clear plastic box, and she'd open it. And she'd lick her finger and stick it in that box. And she'd come up with a little foil, tinfoil star. They were blue and yellow and red and green. And she'd start at the top of that list. Miss Abercrombie, you get a star today. Mr. Bush, you get a star today.
Mr. Carter, you get a star. She'd go all the way. I'm not going to go to the whole alphabet. And she'd get all the way down. All the way down. And I'm like, come on. Go ahead. She'd get down there and she'd close that little box. She'd put it in her drawer. And she'd get a magic marker. And she'd say, today, Eddie, again, gets a frowny face. Sorry, heifer. Probably couldn't get saved if she wanted to. One day she made me stay in at recess and clean the blackboard. While she was out there with them kids and I was just stuck in that room by myself, it dawned on me. I know where that box of stars is at. I got over there and got that little box out of there, but it was just Monday. I got that thing, I went, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, I wish I got it ahead next week. I'd have filled that one up too. I went home, I wasn't thinking, I don't guess. I said, Mama, you ain't gonna believe it. She said, I got stars all week long. She said, baby, it's a Monday. But I could just picture my God. Let me mess with them. I'm going to make a dipper right here. That's pretty good. I believe I'm going to make a bigger one. When's the last time he blew your mind? When's the last time? When's the last time you just stood in absolute amazement? I got a brand new baby grandson, Levi. Little Moses. Moses, that's his name. Named him Moses. That's some big shoes to fill. I said, son, no pressure, huh? Let's go. Moses. Oh, he's prettiest thing. Prettiest grandson ever been born. I don't want your opinion. I didn't ask for it. I'm telling you. I was there at the hospital when he was born. They handed me that little rascal. Oh, I didn't look over at my daughter-in-law and say, baby, you did good. I didn't look at my son and say, son, you did a good job. I looked toward God, preacher. I said, oh, God. Woo! You've done it again. When's the last time you just stood in awe? You said, preacher, I ain't been getting many blessings lately. When's the last time you thanked him for the last one you got? We act like we deserve it all. Yeah, squeeze her up. Ain't it amazing? Grandsons are wonderful, but granddaughters are wonderful. Lastly, and I'm done. What did we talk about, Jared? The will of the Master, the work of the Master, the words of the Master, and the wonder of the Master. There's one more, and I'll quit. In our very first verse, I believe it was verse number 35 or 36, I want you to note tonight the watching of the Master. I'm not talking about who he's watching. I'm talking about who's watching him. There are the saints before us. We've got the disciples. They had their eyes on the Lord. Did you see that? They were in amazement because they saw what He did. Oh, I love to watch Jesus work. More than I love to breathe, I love to watch Jesus work. Are you listening? And then there are the little ships. Not just the saints before us, but the little ships around us. The Bible said in verse 35 or verse 36, and there were with them also other little ships. Little ships. They went out there by themselves. It wasn't the only boat on the sea. There were with them other little ships. Listen to me. Other little ships. They were in the same storm as the big ships. Sometimes we don't think our children understand what's going on. They understand more than we might think. Those other little ships were watching. What's your name, buddy? Parker? I like you. Come here, will you walk with me? I ain't going to make you do nothing weird or nothing, okay? How old are you, Parker?
9 years
old. Been in church a little while? Pretty much most of your life?
Yes, sir.
Ain't that cool? That's a blessing. Been in church most. That's the good kind right there. Amen. Parker, 9 years old. Probably don't even like girls. Are you the president of the He-Man Woman Haters Club? That's right. Give me a fist bump right there. They're gross. Don't let nobody tell you that. Here's Parker. He's 9 years old. Thinks girls are stupid. Ain't got a care in this life. Probably got a good mom and a good dad. Taking care. There he is in the Under Armour shirt. You know what they charge for that upside down, whatever that is? You know what they charge? That's crazy. I bought one at the Goodwill for $3. Got on a good-looking pair of boots. I mean, boy, somebody's taking care of this boy. But one of these days, as Parker goes through this life, as 9 turns into 10, 10 turns into 11, 11 turns into 12, 12 turns into 13, all of a sudden something's going to change. That's a stupid old girl. Boy, she's... Somewhere along the line, the little Parker's going to get Twitter-pated. He's going to fall in love with some little girl. And they're going to get married. I know you don't believe it now, but if the Lord tarries, it'll happen. Even for somebody like you, it'll happen. He'll get married. And him and his little old bride, they'll... Don't think nothing weird about this, okay? They'll start their little journey through life. And sure enough, a storm will come. A storm will come. Maybe they'll get the news one day that a baby's coming. And then maybe Parker will come home from work and there sits his little bride with tears rolling down her face. Honey, what's the matter? We lost a baby. The storms, I ain't saying I ain't praying that happen. I'll pray it on. The storms are coming. And that little wife stole his heart. She's going to say, Parker, what are we going to do? Parker, I don't know how we're going to get through this. Maybe he comes home and she's got the bills spread out all over the table, Parker. We're about to lose everything we got. What are we going to do? Maybe Parker will say, honey, I don't know. But I tell you, I grew up. I grew up in a good Bible-believing church all my life. And I know that every time a storm come in Mom and Daddy's life, Daddy would get Mama by the hand, and instead of running the preacher down or trying to vote him out or instead of trying to cause trouble in the church or put it on the Twitter or the Facebook, he'd just get Mama by the hand. He'd get down there in that old-fashioned altar and he'd pray, and it seemed like somehow God had always worked it out. Hey, there's little skips behind us, and they're watching how we handle every situation that comes our way. Could be later on when them little ships was in the storm. Somebody said, what do we do? Wake him up. I can tell you about a time. Then there's the watching of the sinners around us. This world's watching us. This world's... You going to sing the invitation? Is that all right? This world's looking at everything we do. I worked construction for a long time after I got saved. If I hit my finger with a hammer, everybody on the place stops. See what's going to come out of my mouth. Are you listening? They watch you. When them old boys at quitting time start popping the top, they'd see if the reverend was going to do it. They're watching us. I didn't read on in the Scripture. But Mark chapter number 4 ends with them boys being amazed. Mark chapter 5 begins a whole new chapter. They did make it to the other side. And the boat did make shore on the Gadarean shore. And the Bible said that when they docked the boat, as soon as they got out of the boat, that there come one running to Jesus. They said he was a man who had his dwelling among the tombs. Stay with me, I'm done. I ain't no rocket scientist, but I ain't building a graveyard on the beach.
I've been to Jamaica and Dominican Republic and Mexico and Panama City. I've been to the beach. Ain't never seen a cemetery on the beach. But that's where this demonic man was. He had his member, his dwelling. Lay up yonder on the hill somewhere. Had his dwelling among the tombs. Could it be that that wild man in his rage, full of demons, every time the lightning struck and the midnight sky lit up bright as the day, that he looked out of that hole that he lived in and he saw a little ship being tossed to and fro. And under one of them lightning strikes, he saw a man standing on the bow of that boat who looked at that wind and looked at them waves and said, "Peace be still." And I wonder if he thought, "Oh my God, if he can calm that storm, I wonder if he can calm this one." Something drew his attention to Jesus. "Oh, I want to make the gospel enticing. I want to live my life in such a way that the drunkard would look on and say, 'Boy, I wish I had what you had.' I'm tired of sinners looking at God's people and thinking, 'If that's all there is to it, I don't want none of it.' The master of the sea, he's a good master. He's a wonderful master. But you may just have to release the wheel and let him have it. Give him control of your life. Let's stand our feet all over the house.